You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, millions of people could get pay hikes after the Obama administration expanded overtime eligibility. We talked to an expert about why that announcement has been met with some mixed responses. First, the state Supreme Court issued a ruling today that denied Governor Scott Walker oversight of the State Department of Public Instruction's rules. The split court determined that a law Republicans passed in 2011 that would have given lawmakers and the governor more of a say in education policy was unconstitutional, at least when it came to the Department of Public Instruction. Sean Johnson joins us now to break down the story. He's Capital Bureau Chief here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Well, once again, we're talking courts, and so we're talking something that's a little complicated. We'll break it down as much as we need to. But in a nutshell, what did we hear from the state Supreme Court today?
In a nutshell, and it was kind of a shattered nutshell, I guess. I mean, because you had a very unusual ruling in terms of the way that the justices broke down. But they said that governors may be able to have this veto power over administrative rules when it comes to other agencies that are under the governor's control anyway. So like the Department of Natural Resources, for example. But when it comes to the Department of Public Instruction, which is run by the state superintendent, which is a constitutional officer, I mean, he has duties spelled out in the state constitution, that it's unconstitutional for the governor to restrict his rulemaking ability.
This all goes back to a law passed and signed back in 2011. We refer back, right, to 2011 a lot.
Yes,
around
we do.
Here. What was that initial law?
And this was part of that initial push of legislation that the governor brought in pretty quickly after taking office. That law really was centralizing control over state agency rulemaking within the governor's office, giving him power to requiring him to sign off on these scope statements for all agencies, requiring an economic impact study if it's going to cost a lot of money. It was a pretty sweeping law that was passed by Republican legislators soon after taking office, signed for the governor. But it was tied up in court pretty soon thereafter. In 2012 is when Dane County Circuit Court judge first ruled on this and said that it was unconstitutional.
Let me see if I've got the civics right here on this one, Sean.
Right.
Before this rule, the legislature passes a law that directs the DNR, say, mm-hmm. the Department of Natural Resources, to do something. But then it's up to the DNR to figure out the rules with which they'll implement what the legislature said. Now, with this new thing, this new law says, okay, yeah, the DNR goes and sets the rules, and then the governor can come back and say, nope, bad rules, try again?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, the governor kind of gets first crack at a veto of that
rule. And a second crack, actually, when they finalize it.
Yeah, and so and when you're talking about rules, right, these are sort of the fine details of laws is the, kind of the way that I like to describe them. Mm-hmm. So the legislature passes a law. They hand it off to these agencies, which are the experts in various topic areas. So for when you were talking about education rules, we might be talking about teacher licensure. We might be talking about the school choice program, a very contentious issue in Wisconsin. And it's up to these agencies to implement those. And so you fill in the blanks, basically. Those are rules. And so right now, I guess for other agencies, the governor has to sign off on that first scope statement, basically saying, here's what we're going to do. This law would have given him the power to also do that with the Department of Public Instruction. The court said, though, you can't do that because it would have let the governor effectively veto these rules by holding them up indefinitely.
And as you say, it's different with public instruction because that is a constitutionally specified office that is elected by people. It has its own jobs. Now, there's been a conflict over education issues between the governor and the Republican legislature on the one hand, and Tony Evers at DPI, the superintendent there. Is that some of what's leading to this confrontation, that there's frustration from Republicans that they're not getting what they want from the elected head of public instruction?
I think some Republicans and some Republican groups saw this law as maybe kind of a backdoor to some type of, what they would view as education reform. I mean, particularly when you're talking about the voucher program or choice schools, they felt like they sort of see the DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, which has been typically run by a candidate who though nonpartisan, typically Democratic-backed candidate.
Right. It's a Democratic nonpartisan, not a Republican nonpartisan.
Exactly. And this was a decision by a nonpartisan slash Republican court, though it was all over the place. So, I guess choice advocates don't always get what they want from the Department of Public Instruction, and they saw this as a way that could maybe advance their arguments more.
Talking to Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about a ruling today from the state Supreme Court on who gets to make the rules for laws passed related to education. You mentioned that conservative majority on the court, Sean, 5-2, I think, by most people's reckoning.
Right.
But here's a 4-3 vote against what conservatives and Republicans wanted. So what happened?
So what you had is Justice Michael Gableman, who made some remarks during oral arguments that I think a lot of people would have looked at and said, okay, he's obviously going to uphold the law. He wrote the opinion that that struck the law down. And he was joined in that 4-3 decision by David Prosser, who wrote his own concurring opinion, also joined by former Chief Justice, now Justice Shirley Abrahamson and Ann Walsh Bradley, the court's two liberal justices, who wrote, Abrahamson wrote her own concurring opinion. And then he had the court's other conservatives, three of them, who dissented and dissented pretty strongly. And what you ended up with was about 132 pages of back and forth between these justices and break down an opinion that, we haven't seen on some of the big issues of the day.
Right. And this wasn't as simple as 4-3 in some ways. The conservatives who voted against this law, Gableman and Prosser, wrote things that seemed to leave the door open, not for this particular law, but an avenue for Republicans in the legislature to do kind of the same stuff without this law.
Yeah, so, I mean, what the dissenting justices really hammered home over and over again is that the rulemaking power of the superintendent was given to the superintendent by the legislature. Over and over again, you see Chief Justice Patience Rogensack saying this is a legislative power, and essentially, if it's a legislative power, the legislature can take it away. Justice Gableman was saying, look, if it's fine, the legislature gives them rulemaking power, but if they don't have rulemaking power, they can't carry out their duties as supervising public instruction.
They're constitutional.
That's kind of like how it works, that if they don't have that, there's basically no duties for the superintendent. So he said that the legislature could get around this in other ways. And basically hinted at that. I think some people saw it as even an invitation. But there are ways the legislature could sidestep this. I mean, when they write laws that have to do with education, they can kind of fill in all those fine details that typically go to an agency like the Department of Public Instruction so that there's really less interpretation for them to do.
So if I'm the legislature now, I might write rules with less wiggle room, with less flexibility in the DPI's ability to write the rules.
Yeah, potentially, although they've been saying that for a while now, so it's definitely easier said than done. You know, they are meant to be kind of jacks of all trades, whereas the DPI knows this stuff inside and out. But that's something that they've tried to do, they said recently, and I think you might see them continue that.
So that's something to watch for in the future. But when it comes to this particular law, this is the highest court with authority. This is a state constitutional issue, not going into federal courts. It's done.
It's a pretty big win for Tony Evers, the superintendent of public instruction, and he said as much. He framed it as a big win for public education in Wisconsin. I think, actually, you look at the dissent in this case, and they viewed this opinion as increasing the power granted to the superintendent. So a pretty substantial decision in that way.
Sean, thanks as always.
You're welcome, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief here at WPR News. He joined us to talk about the state Supreme Court decision released today that denied Governor Scott Walker oversight of rules set by the Department of Public Instruction.